I'm here today with Mark Batterson, lead pastor of Washington, D.C.'s National Community Church, which has been widely recognized as one of America's most innovative churches. He's also the author of Wild Goose Chase and the best-selling book In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. Hi, Mark. It's great to be with you.
Great to be with you, too.
Now, Mark, the title of your new book, Primal, suggests that you're going to strip something down to its bare essentials, maybe make it a little more dangerous in the process. So if that's true, would you comment on what the reader can expect from Primal?
Sure. Well, the first observation I'd make is it doesn't have an animal in the title. After In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day and Wild Goose Chase, we decided to go with something a little bit different, and here's the genesis of it for me, and really a picture of what the book is about. A couple of years ago, my wife and I were in Rome, and we hit all of the, you know, tourist stops, you know, St. Peter's Basilica and Trevi Fountain and all the piazzas, but really the highlight for us was in an off-the-beaten-trail church called the Church of San Clemente. And really cool. It's a 12th-century church built over a 4th-century church. And for €5, you can take an underground tour. And I'll never forget descending those stairs, and the air got kind of damp. And it was like walking back in time. And when you get all the way to the bottom, it is supposed to be one of the ancient catacombs where Christians worshipped in secret before the legalization of Christianity. And as I walked down the stairs, I just thought to myself, this is primal Christianity in its pure essence. And in a sense, I kind of think of this book as, let's strip back 2,000 years of history. Let's take a walk down those stairs together and, in a sense, descend into the primal essence of Christianity, and that primal essence for me is the great commandment: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the primal essence of what we believe and what we practice as Christians.
So what is it about Jesus' commandment that you personally find primal?
Well, I think, you know, Jesus had the amazing ability to say a lot by saying very little. He took the 613 laws that really were the basis of Judaism and reduced them down to kind of a least common denominator and said, hey, you take all of these, what's really important, what's most important is that you love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what I try to do in the book is really break down those four elements or four dimensions of the Great Commandment. And I feel like my calling as a writer is really to say old things in new ways. And so I have some fun bringing some neurology and physics and psychology into the mix, juxtaposing those things with theology, and hopefully helping people see these four dimensions in a fresh and new way. And so the book really revolves around four concepts: compassion, which I think is the heart, the soul would be wonder, and then you have the mind, which is curiosity, and finally strength is energy. And so the book builds around those four elements of primal Christianity.
Now, most Christians see themselves as caring and concerned citizens, but I don't think that you're convinced of this. For example, you challenge your readers to have what you call a sympathy breakthrough. Now, what do you mean by that, and how could it change a person's behavior?
Well, you know, I think this is a part of the book where I just get in people's faces and challenge what I think is one of the root problems that we have, which is selfishness. And if you want to be miserable, live your life just pursuing selfish things. And right at the get-go, I just try to help people experience a paradigm shift that really, the key to joy in life, if you want to be fruitful and fulfilled in life, it's about other people. And to me, that starts with seeing other people the way Jesus sees them. And so in this part of the book, I read an interesting study about some research done by actually a U.S. Army lieutenant colonel that found that only 15% of World War II riflemen had actually fired at the enemy. I thought, boy, that is fascinating. And then there were some studies that kind of built off of that finding. And what they found is that oftentimes in the midst of hand-to-hand combat, soldiers would experience what is called a sympathy breakthrough. In other words, there would be some kind of eye-to-eye contact that would short-circuit the hand-to-hand combat and in a sense would diffuse some of the conflict that happened. And so what I try to do in this part of the book is, man, we've got to experience a sympathy breakthrough. And I experienced one of those not long ago. I actually got an email from someone who attended one of our services, a scathing email about one of my messages. And honestly, I thought it was a pretty good message. But I thought, man, there's something behind this. And I dug a little bit deeper and discovered that, man, this was written from someone who recently went through, had an accident, and four friends died, and this is the only person that survived. And I don't think that this person had ever really processed what had happened. And it just was such an, in that moment, I went from honestly being ticked off at the scathing email and ready to go, you know, hand-to-hand combat with this person, to just a sympathy breakthrough where I saw, man, this person's hurting, and they need a pastor that's willing to just kind of drop the gloves and give them an embrace. And it's really cool because it's resulted in a breakthrough with this person. And I believe it's going to result in their lives being changed. And so that's what I'm kind of getting at in that section of the book, that we need to be compassionate, but that starts with a sympathy breakthrough in our lives.
Mm. Now, in your chapter, The Island of the Colorblind, you write movingly about our capacity to wonder. Do you think evangelicals have lost something there? And if so, what's the cost, and what would it take to get it back?
Oh, I think, in large part, we've said, hey, if you want to experience God, it's going to happen in a church called a building, which is a misnomer in itself, and it's going to happen while you're seated in a pew. That is such a small approach to the Creator. In a sense, I think what's happened is we have taken a left brain approach to God. You know, our theology is so logical and linear. And man, we've got to get back in touch with the right brain imagination, the ability to live in awe or wonderment of who God is. And in a sense, I think we reduce God to the object of knowledge instead of the cause of wonder. And maybe the way I would describe it is, I think this last summer, I took my son, Parker, and we hiked the Grand Canyon from rim to rim. It was an amazing experience. And afterwards, to celebrate, we took a helicopter ride over the canyon. I'll never forget the helicopter going over the canyon, and man, I cried. And honestly, it was a little embarrassing. Like, I couldn't hold back the tears because it was just such an overwhelming thing to see the beauty of God's creation. You know, part of it was probably we had just hiked through it. And I would describe it as tears of worship, that it was just, you know, we're flying over the one of the seven natural wonders of the world. And it was one of the most worshipful experiences I've ever had, far beyond anything I've ever experienced in a church building. And so I think what I'm trying to get at in that chapter is invite people into the wonder of God. Thomas Carlyle said, worship is wonder. And I think those two things are synonymous. And so what we need to do is rediscover that or re-experience that in a fresh way. And I think readers at a very deep level will identify with those chapters on wonder and will remind them of some of the experiences that they've had and I think take them into a deeper relationship with God.
Now, Mark, as we wrap up our time today, just kind of role play with me a little bit. A 20-something congressional aide comes up to you in Union Station. Hey, Mark, I just have to tell you how much your book Primal has changed my life. What would you want to hear most come from his mouth? How would you want your readers to be most affected and their lives changed through Primal?
Well, you know, first of all, as a writer, I think I always hope that people destroy a book as they read it, that it's underlined, it's highlighted, they have pages leafed over. And so, you know, and most of the people I've talked with who have read my previous books, you know, that's the case. But I always hope that as they're reading what I've written, that at some point God will inspire them to do something with it, and, you know, and identify what line they're called to chase or what wild goose chase has God called them on. And in this book, you know, I'm hoping that people go primal, that, hey, let's strip back some of this religion that we've been practicing and get to the raw essence of what it means to live a life of faith. And so, in a sense, I want people to descend those stairs into the catacombs of faith and re-experience once again what it is that God has called them to. And I had this experience not long ago. I was listening to a speaker at a conference, and I don't think I was at my best place spiritually. And, you know, sometimes when you're, you know, pastoring a church, it's, you can run on empty. And I remember he said, does your heart break for the things that break the heart of God? And man, that question broke me, because I wasn't really at a place where that was my experience. And it wasn't long after that I went back and had the opportunity to preach at the college chapel where I went to school. And going back to that chapel was just a profound experience for me. It took me back to kind of that primal calling that God had put on my life, because it was in that chapel balcony where I used to pace and pray and seek God. And I think that's where my heart first broke for the things that break the heart of God. And going back there was just this, it was a rediscovery. It was kind of a reigniting of my faith. And so what I hope is that this book would take people back to that college balcony, to that place where maybe God called them to something, or where they had just this amazing revelation or experience with God, and in taking them back to that place, that it would just renew their faith in a profound way and take them deeper in a relationship with Christ.
Mark Batterson, author of the brand new book, Primal. Thanks so much, Mark, for being with me today.
Hey, thank you.